The Tarncast, Tarncast, the Tarncast, Tarncast, it's the Tarncast, Tarncast, the Tarncast, Tarncast, the Tarncast, Tarncast, it's the Tarncast, Tarncast, this is the Tarncast, Tarncast, the Tarncast, the Tarncast.
Hi, this is PJ Marino. I'm here for the Tarncast. I'm your special host of the day. Actually, no, I am the host of the day, and I have a special guest.
Yeah.
Todd Robert Anderson.
Hey, PJ.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm all right. Thanks for having me on your show.
Todd is one of my favorite people in Los Angeles. I've been here for a long time, and I've been seeing Todd at auditions and on TV, and I love the guy, so I had to have him on the show today.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for having me. It's a great honor to be on your show.
Thank you so much.
I'm a fan of yours as well.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
We have worked together even before, yeah.
We have.
Yeah.
When was the last time we worked together, though?
Didn't you come and do the film
pigs? Oh, the film pigs.
Yeah,
that's right.
That would
oh
be the
God.
Last time we worked together. I mean, I guess it's not really work because we didn't get paid, but you know.
But we had fun.
We had fun.
And that's more reasons why it doesn't feel like work.
Right, and we put it on camera. So
We did.
That's, you know, that's our profession. So even when we're doing pro bono, I guess technically it's work.
Yep, and you also used Tessa Monroe, my lovely wife.
I did.
Episode
yes.
of Film Pigs.
The only episode of the Film Pigs that doesn't have any cursing in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did we curse on mine? We probably did curse.
Yeah, yeah.
Where there was me,
there
was cursing.
We did, and your sketch was very inappropriate and had you, like, jamming your face into bowls of cocaine.
Right, right.
But we kept
hers. For some of the takes, we did not actually use cocaine, though, right? We did some.
Well, we didn't have the budget for that much cocaine.
Right.
So we just had to, yeah.
It but the whiskey was real.
The whiskey was real. We call it popcorn.
Right, right,
it's
right.
called popcorn, yeah.
I think I actually had that in my contract when I signed on, that the whiskey had to be real.
Yeah, okay? Yeah. That's fair. Sometimes it's not, though, because sometimes people come on that show and they don't drink.
Right.
And then we give them apple juice.
Which is also very good. Can be very arsenic-y.
That's true. That's right? true. Can have a kick.
Equally deadly.
Yeah.
At least that's, I think, what the cranberry people want you to think.
That is what the cranberry people want. Mm-hmm. Unless they're the kind of cranberry people that mix their cranberry with the apple.
Right, right.
As and they cran apple.
Right, as they're wont to do.
Yeah, they do that. They do that. They use a lot of, if you look at the label at the store, most of the bottles of, like, whatever juice have some apple juice in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They have to read more labels.
They fill it out with, like, any cranberry juice cocktail is, like, got a lot of apple juice in it.
Okay.
They jam apple juice into everything.
The apple people are very smart.
They're very smart, the apple people. They're very powerful.
They use the whole fruit angle, being healthy.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. I don't know how healthy apple juice really is, but
I think that most juice, really, when you buy it in the store, it's just all sugar.
Yeah, well, you have to read the labels because we're right. not allowed. My son is in third grade, and he goes to a school, and they're not allowed to have sugary stuff.
Okay.
So even when you're buying juice, you got to read the label. It's got to be real juice. It can't have high fructose corn syrup in it.
Wait, so now what are they allowed to drink if it's not juice? Because that seems
well,
like
it has to be 100% juice. It can't be, like, most of the juice at the grocery store is bullshit. It's
right.
full of
so
corn
they can
syrup.
Have sugar, but it has to be the natural sugar.
Right, right, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Yes, not, what is it, like, process, whatever this bad sugar is. If it's natural to the fruit, the sugar in fruit, that's obviously fine. Yeah.
I think so far this is perhaps the most interesting podcast.
We're talking about juice. Hi, welcome to the Juice Cast. We talk about nothing but juice. Yeah.
We're sponsored by, what is a juice? I don't even know any juice
we're sponsored by, there's all kinds of juice people.
But who's the
Ocean Spray.
Ocean Spray is the big
yeah,
one.
Ocean
the
Spray,
one.
Yeah.
So Ocean Spray, sponsored by Ocean Spray today.
Yeah. And they don't actually, there's no Ocean Spray in Ocean Spray juices.
What would be Ocean Spray in
like
ocean?
If you're at the beach and a wave crashes.
Oh,
and
I
you
see
get
what you're
all a spray from the ocean.
Right, right.
But they don't put that in their juices.
That would be more salty than anything else.
Yeah,
it would
be a very salty
So really,
juice.
Why is it even called Ocean Spray if ocean is salt?
I don't know.
They sell sugary drinks.
This is my question. There was a back east where I grew up, there was a juice company called Very Fine.
Okay.
Do you remember Very Fine?
Yeah, I think I remember Very Fine.
We used to, me and my buddy said, we made up a commercial for Very Fine.
Okay.
And it's, Very Fine's juice is so good, they're changing their name to fucking great. But for some reason, we couldn't get him to buy it. I don't know why.
It's a travesty. They should have bought that.
It's a good idea.
That was before the YouTube mm-hmm. sensation, I would think, right?
Yeah, it was before the internet.
You guys were like sending around VHS tapes, trying to get people interested?
Yeah, we sent around VHS tapes.
Yeah, or like acting it out in their
and
offices.
We filmed on a VHS camera with a giant, like, side-loading VHS camera.
Right. I love those things. I used to rent those for, like, sporting events and for parties. Just rent the big...
Yeah,
it was, like, twice the size of the VHS tape because it had to fit the VHS tape.
Yeah, exactly.
It was just enormous.
And the quality of the recording was atrocious. Yes, absolutely terrible.
And you couldn't hide when you were shooting something. People knew you were there.
Yeah, it was. Now you can put a camera on a drone and just pilot with a remote control.
And I think that there was just an article about that today or yesterday that it's legal now. They just made it legal in California for film shoots to actually have the drones. The FAA made it legal. I didn't read the story. I didn't click on it, but I did see that it was posted in a few places today.
My friend got one of those $50 Amazon drones. They're great.
They're amazing.
They're fun. They're cool.
Yeah. You can shoot amazing stuff with it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Well, the quality, he didn't get a fancy camera one. He just got it so he can pilot the little drone. Right, but it does have a camera, but he says it looks like shit.
Because most, I've seen people shoot where they put the GoPro on the little drone, and then it's like the footage you get is fantastic.
Yeah. GoPros are really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I worked with one of those once, wore it on my head.
Oh, for which project?
I did a short film with these UCLA. USC. It was USC.
Okay.
I think. Yeah. Is the USC over by
That's downtown.
The museum and stuff?
Yes.
The natural history? Yeah, so it
as
was
opposed
that
to
one.
UCLA, which is like right in Westwood near Bel Air, basically.
Right. Okay.
Those kids have it really good.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
But I was with the USC kids.
USC, which they think they're better, right? Which they, I don't know.
Yeah.
Better.
I like that campus.
But they're both great schools.
Yeah.
But
I like that campus. But anyway, so I shot short film with a couple of kids. It's like student film.
Right.
And it was just like my kid got kidnapped. And they opened it with like a POV shot of me walking into the bathroom and finding like a envelope behind a toilet with a finger in it. And then I freak out and then I go and I face the kidnappers.
Okay.
It's cool.
You have a fight scene?
Yeah, I shot everybody.
Wow.
I like totally Liam Neeson'd the shit out of that thing.
Was it called?
Which is why I did it. Like I was like, I'll do this because nobody's ever going to hire me to do this for real.
Right.
So it was fun.
How did it turn out? Did it turn out well?
Yeah, I only got to see it once. And then, they never sent me a copy of it.
They never posted it online or Vimeo or anything?
They did post it online, but he posted it with
all
these color bars for like 3 minutes before it started. And I was like, why don't you take the, with the high-pitched squeal? I would have said, hey, posted it on Facebook or whatever.
Right.
But it had this thing. I was like, get rid of that thing. But then
weird.
He never back to me. And no, it was just like the color bars that they have before. He just posted what he had I don't know why he had the color bars on there anyway, but it just posted that without removing the color. But I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
Did they pass the project?
They did. I guess they did well.
Oh,
they did well, and they felt
they had you. That's a big draw.
Well, that's what was funny is because I they had to shoot. They really wanted me to do it, and they had to shoot on this weekend. And the professor was like, "I really think you should shoot it the weekend before, so you have more time for post."
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, "We got to shoot it with this guy." And he's like, "Why are you doing it with this guy? Why don't you just do it with, some kid, in the class, everybody else?"
Right.
And they're like, no, it's got to be this guy. And he was like, I think you're making a huge mistake. And then when they screened it, he was like, I was wrong. You guys were right.
Well, it had to be that guy. Of course, you have to have the right talent.
It had to be that guy.
To pull it off.
Yeah. He said, yeah. So I was like, oh, good. So so he got to eat crow because you guys stuck by your casting choice of me.
And now they have
a
five-picture deal with Sony or something.
I don't know. They haven't called or anything. I mean, I hope they do. But, I hope they have their five-picture deal. It'd be nice if they called, though. Because, they say when you do these things that, it leads to more work.
Right.
I don't think that's true.
It's really... hard to know what leads to what in this business.
Yeah.
But, you know, I like to think that everything we do, we plant seeds, you know, it's for the next job.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's funny, like, of all the student films I've done a bunch. I noticed a few years ago that one of the films I did way back in, like, the late 90s, the director is huge now. Her name is Elizabeth Allen. Wonderful person. I met her when she was at USC, did this cute little film, and then lost touch because we didn't have Facebook, we didn't have anything in touch.
Right, of course.
And then I see that she's directing all these huge movies, and I'm like, how do I get in touch with this woman? And she has one of those names you can't really find by just, you know,
when the
name is very generic, it's hard to really contact.
Can you have, like, your agent call?
You would think that would be the case, but I never ended up finding a way to get in touch with her until recently. A friend of mine is a writer, and she's directing his script. And my wife Tessa actually got an audition and got to mention me in the audition.
In the audition.
Because she was in the room with the writer.
Oh, okay.
And so she was like, and Tessa mentioned the short.
Uh-huh.
I think it was called Crazy Legs was the name of the...
Crazy Legs.
Oh, wait. Chicken Legs.
Chicken Legs.
And when Tessa told me when she mentioned it to Liz Allen, her face was... she had that moment of like... oh my God, I do remember that. It took her like a few minutes.
Right.
It was so long ago, so.
That's funny.
So my name was mentioned in her universe.
That's nice. So.
But I'm happy she's doing really well. But long story short, it is hard to actually have something lead to something when you're doing stuff.
Well, but it's also like when you shoot a commercial with a director and then he moves over, it's like they don't call.
Yeah, it's so hard.
It doesn't necessarily. I mean, all that. Work beginning work thing. I don't know.
It has
I don't
to be
know
divine intervention, like most of our jobs. Like everything has to fall into place.
It's just
meant to be.
Right.
If the gig is yours, it's your gig. And
that's true. It's such a crapshoot.
Yeah.
It's the dumbest career choice. It's the dumbest career choice.
Especially like you know commercial auditions.
Yeah. Maybe. Now I'm getting depressed. Let's talk about juice.
Yeah.
Let's
so,
go back to juice.
What's your favorite juice besides apple?
I like pineapple juice.
Pineapple juice is good.
It's really good because it's tart. I like a tart juice.
And it makes you feel like – it makes me feel like I'm on vacation for some reason when I drink.
Yeah.
It's weird. I'm not even saying that to be funny, but it really does make me feel
it does
like I'm in a happy place.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
It does do that. Yeah. I like grapefruit juice in general. I have one of those SodaStream machines, you know?
I do not know this machine. What is it?
It's like it puts the gas into your water, you know, so it bubbles.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's not all natural bubbles. It's, you know, chemically forced bubbles, but it's still bubbles.
Okay.
Well, because, you know, like if you make beer right, you don't add carbonation to it. It naturally carbonates.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
This is how much I
know.
It's
part of the process.
And I only bartended for about 15 years, so you'd think I would know that.
And, like, champagne is the same way, too, I think.
Is it?
I don't think they, like, they don't jam, like, they jam the gas into, like, soda pop.
But they don't do it for the alcohol?
No. Like, the alcohol, it's part of the process. That's a, like, when you get, like, bottled water and it says naturally...
Mm-hmm.
Carbonated. It means that they didn't add the gas. There's some like process, and they, I don't know. I don't know how they do it. It's magic. But anyway, I like to take the bubbly water, and I'll pour a glass of that, and then I'll put like a splash of grapefruit juice in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then you really feel like you're on vacation.
Yeah, we're at that
bubbly.
Age where it's little things like that that make life
tolerable. Yeah. Yeah, because I ache all over, and that's the only relief I get.
Are you really aching all over?
I'm always aching.
Really? Because I have some aches. I wouldn't say all over, but I mean, maybe we got to start doing yoga. Everybody says yoga is the best thing.
I hate yoga.
And I can't do it more than once every, like, year.
I find yoga, like, one part frustrating and three parts really boring. So,
And it's expensive.
Yeah. And you have to wear those dumb pants.
No, you don't. You can wear anything, can't you?
No, if you do
what yoga are you going to?
Well, my instructor says I have to wear the yoga pants.
Like the stretchies?
Yeah, yeah. So you can really see the...
Does your instructor work for Lululemon,
really
perhaps?
See my... The instructor said when I do yoga, he really needs to see my balls. He needs to see what the balls are doing. He says it's an important part of the process. I don't know. But, I mean, I Is that not how the yoga goes?
I don't think that's the... I mean, the yoga that I've done, I've not been asked to show my balls, nor wear specific pants.
Really?
I don't know if I'd want to be in that class.
That's so weird.
That makes me feel a little unsettled.
He told me this is how they all do it. That's weird. I feel violated.
No, they also say meditation is one of the other big things that can be very good for the health and the general,
general
overall health.
Yeah.
Do the meditation, which thing I cannot do for more than once in a great while.
By meditation, you mean watch television, right?
Well, I like to
lie on the couch and watch TV.
I think the point is to shut your brain off and just focus on something very simple and allow your body to just be at rest.
So watching reality television.
Yeah. So watching things like Jersey Shore, I guess.
Right. Your brain goes off. Yeah. I meditate all the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
You do like the Homer Simpson meditation.
I do. I do the Homer Simpson meditation with a beer and the TV. Yeah. That's my way.
So far we've covered
juices. I think that's like...
I'm doing like the Film Pigs method of like a summary.
Recap. Yeah, we've done juices.
Yeah.
And then what?
Yeah, we've talked about the situation of yoga and wearing the hot pants.
The pants
that make you look... ballsy.
And we talked about how work does not beget work in acting.
Right, right.
Right. So, like, two out of three of those topics weren't depressing, but one of them was really depressing. So I don't want to,
Well, should we talk more about work, about acting? What should we talk about?
I don't know. Well, you're the host.
What's going on? What's next? I know, you've been working on You're the Worst. Have you been talking about that? Like, you've been inundated talking about You're the Worst because it's an awesome show. All the critics love it.
Oh, thank you.
It did well.
Yeah.
Why is it not picked? Is it not picked up for a second season?
Not officially.
Officially, but come on.
I feel like it's got a really good chance.
Yeah.
But they need to, FX is, with shows like this, like FX will wait and see what the numbers are in the other realms, like Netflix and all that stuff before they commit. Because, the ratings went up as the season went along. But
that's very nice.
Yeah. But they just... they did... Like, for FX, their... the demographic for the show skewed way younger than FX shows usually get. So that's a good thing for the show. So we'll see. But, yeah.
I'll tell you, and I started watching, obviously, because I know you and I've met Stephen Falk, the
creator.
The writer. He's, always, his writing's amazing. And at the beginning, I liked it a lot.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, okay, I'm going to keep watching it because I really enjoy it. And also because of you guys. But like you said, the more the season went on, I don't know what it was, but it was like I was like, oh, okay, now I see what they're doing. Like, it took me a few episodes to really
get in the groove. Yeah.
And then I was so happy that I was like, I really, really love this show.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah. Once you get its rhythms.
I wonder, it's just a good combination of the writing is sharp and funny and a little mean at times, which I love.
Right.
But also the cast, was assembled perfectly, I think.
Yeah, I agree. There was no stars forced in there. And I think that happens on TV a lot. It made me realize, like, I miss, because the TV that I grew up with in the 80s, none of those people were stars.
Right.
When Tom Selleck wasn't a star when he did Magnum.
Right.
He was a star because of Magnum P.I.
Right.
Whereas now, they put the stars in the TV show. Right. So you know who they are walking in. And I miss that, the way it used to work.
Yeah, then you really buy into the characters. You believe that they are the people.
When
who
you're
they
not
are.
Familiar with their faces, it's it's more. Right. I mean, I guess it's dangerous for an actor because then people, only want you to do that one thing. And I guess that was the trick back in the day of breaking into movies,
right?
Which was not everybody could do. But now all the movie stars are doing TV,
right?
Because the movies are shit.
Well, it's all, sequels and it has to be based on a very popular book.
But even
or a
TV
comic,
now, it's like every new show has got superheroes in it. I'm like,
right.
When
There's
is
so much
this
now.
Bubble going to burst? It's going to burst.
Well, thank God You're the Worst is here and it's fucking that trend.
Yeah. But I mean, like this fall, it's like there are five new comic book shows.
Right.
And one of them's like about Gotham, where Batman's from, but Batman's not in it.
No, I have it on my DVR. I have not watched it yet. Did you see the first?
No,
so I'm curious to see it.
I'll watch it if I get an audition for it, but I don't get why I would watch a Batman show with no Batman in it.
Right, but what? He's in it as a kid, and it's like everything is like the origin story
right.
as the kid.
I've heard it's actually pretty good. Yeah. But I don't need origin stories. I mean, if I go to a Batman movie, I don't need the origin of Batman. I just want to watch Batman beat up some people
who are
bad. That's it. That's all I want.
And now. Do you like the new Batmans, the last few that they've had? I feel like you're partial to Keaton. I heard you talking about it with Lombardo, your last podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Right, you mentioned talking about Keaton. It kind of got me jazzed because I love Keaton.
I do love Keaton. I've been talking about Keaton a lot.
You know he has Birdman coming out.
Birdman, yeah.
I am pumped for this movie.
Yeah, I think it's going to be good. Yeah, it's...
And the visuals that I've seen, the pictures of it, some of the stills, look really intriguing.
Yeah, it sounds like an interesting movie. Yeah. And it'd certainly be fun to watch him sort of lamp. And it'll be nice to have him back. He does like the occasional Cable movie.
Right. I think he's the kind of guy, he's kind of content with what he's doing. He likes that, you know, doing his stuff, his personal stuff. And I don't think he wants to work that much. He only works when he feels like it, from what I've heard from people that know him.
No, I would imagine so. He's super rich. So I mean, I get that. If I was super rich, I don't understand the guys who are super rich who still make 3 movies every year.
Yeah. And I don't get guys like Stallone that keep making these.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you want to make like a really interesting character-driven movie? Like, get, you know, like instead of making.
What do you mean the Expendables 3 is not character-driven? I don't get it.
I say that kind of, you know, because also I have a script that I'd love for him to do that would be a departure from all that stuff. So I'm like, why wouldn't you do this instead of doing, you know, that? But he loves to fight him up.
Yeah, I don't want to see Stallone do anything but shoot him up.
No,
anymore.
I want to see him do shoot. Didn't you like him in Copland? I loved him in Copland.
I remember he was good in Copland. I mean, you know? He's good in Rocky. I like Rocky. He's fine. But I honestly just want to see him blow stuff up. that's what I like in a movie.
See, we differ there. I want to see him do more characters. I want to see him get down and do like a real actor's piece.
Okay.
You know, because I think he does. You know, he has a deep well there. He's just not using it. He's just. Likes to do his.
Are you scolding Sly Stallone right now?
I'm scolding you, Sly.
he might take umbrage.
I have this script, and I'm going to be a little self-indulgent here, where I would want him to play my dad. And, you know, he was a forceps baby. When he was born, they were still using the forceps back then.
Oh, right.
During delivery, and it fucked up his mouth. And I have the same thing. When I was like the tail end of that era where they were still.
That's
using
why he
that.
Talks that way.
He talks out of the side of his mouth, kind of like I do.
Ah.
So I have a script, and I kind of wrote him to be my dad.
Right.
And I just think it would be an amazing piece for us. And I kind of wrote this supporting role for him that I think would steal the movie. And you know,
he should do that.
So I'm
He'll
trying
be like,
to get him. You know,
Tony Danza in Don John.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
He was really funny in that.
He was, right?
I like that movie.
See, that's what I'm talking about. Like, doing a movie like that, like to see Tony Danza do that, that excites me, you know?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So if Stallone is out there and he's listening.
I'm sure he is. You know, he's my number one fan.
Yeah, I know he listens to the show.
He loves it. He loves it ever
since. You did see Expendables? You saw the third one? You liked it?
Yeah, I wasn't going to go. And then I was like, oh, wait, well, it's PG-13. I could take my kid, I guess.
Okay.
Which probably is irresponsible. But
is he 8? 9?
Just about 9. Yeah.
9? Okay.
Yeah. So he went, and like, he's never seen like a pure shoot 'em up movie. He's seen a couple of those Fast and the Furious movies, you know?
Right.
And he's seen superhero shows, but he's never seen like a good old fashioned American shoot 'em up because they don't make them anymore.
Right.
So I was like, yeah, let's go. Let's go. And so even though, like, what I like about the first two is they're irresponsibly violent and wrong-headed, and that's what I like about them, because it just reminds me of my youth in the 80s and going to movies like that.
Yeah.
It was fun to take him to this, even though, you know, the violence was bloodless and, yeah.
I'm sure he'll be okay.
he's fine. But it was funny, too, because, you know, all the famous people he didn't know. He knows Stallone because he's seen the Rocky movies.
Okay.
And I think he recognized Harrison Ford, but nobody else in that.
That's it, no.
That's it. Nobody else.
And it had the entire Hollywood.
Everyone from the 80s.
Yeah, everybody from everybody.
Was in right wing action movies in the 80s is in the movie.
But speaking of, you know, bringing the kid to see PG-13 and movies like that at a young age, it's funny because I always. When I was talking to Tessa, and lately a couple times something came up where I didn't want to go in the water. I'm like, I'm not a big water guy. You know, we got invited to go on a boat. And I said, it's not my thing. You can go. You know, she's like, how do you not like going on the, you know, on the water? It's beautiful. I'm like, it's not my thing. And then I remembered, and this is like a separate time from that thing. I remembered my parents took me to see Jaws.
Oh, that'll do it.
In the theater. And then I'm thinking, wait a minute. I was born in 72.
Yeah.
Didn't it come out in 75?
Yeah.
I think it was, back then it was in the theaters for a long time, so I think I saw it in 76. But I was basically 4 years old, and my parents took me to see Jaws. I wonder if there's a correlation.
Yeah.
Me being afraid of the water.
No, my wife saw Jaws too young, and she's to this day afraid of the water.
It's, I can't believe that. I mean, I was seeing that. I was seeing, you know, all the Friday the 13th movies.
When you were four?
Well, not when I was four, but I remember seeing, like, I think, like, 1980. I think I was, like, 8 or 9 or 81 or one of those. I definitely remember seeing the third one, 3D, with my friends in the theater, because I remember just walking up to the thing, and it was PG-13, and they let us in.
No, it was rated R. Yeah, there was no PG-13 when that movie
came out. Right around 83, 84 is when 13, maybe it hadn't started yet, but I know I got in, and I remember seeing it, and I'm like, wow, looking back, I was way too young to be seeing those movies.
Oh, yeah. Those movies would not be PG-13 today.
No,
they're hard R-rated movies.
Right.
It's about watching teenagers get, like, impaled and shit.
Yeah, and I remember seeing the impaling and all that stuff.
I remember looking at the ads for those in the newspaper and thinking, oh, man, I wish I could go see that. But I knew I would.
I think the people just didn't care. We would just talk and make jokes and be like, yeah, hey, and they would let us in.
When I got to be, like, 14, 15, there was more leeway in getting into R-rated movies. But, like, sometimes I still ran into trouble. It depended on the theater and who was working the box office. Because, like, my friend's mom would go in. My mom and dad did not want me seeing R-rated movies. So, like, I was doing this, you know, without their knowledge. But I had a friend whose mom would come in and just say, because you're supposed to go in with the kids if they're under 17.
Right.
Like, requires an adult guardian. Right. But she'd just come up to the box office and say, it's fine if they go. It's fine if they go.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, and usually that would work. But sometimes, you know, whoever would be like, are you going? You have to go with them.
Right.
And she's like, I don't want to see this crap. And they're like, you have to go with them. But I got into a lot, but not until I was 14. Not when I was young. Like, Friday the 13th 3D.
Yeah.
Damn.
I remember. I wonder what year that was. I think it was, like, 83 or something.
It was, like, 83, I think. Because they were, like, doing... That was, like, when they were doing one a year, pretty much.
Yeah.
And I think the final chapter was 84 or 85. And 84 is when the PG-13 started in...
I think it started in right around 83 or 84. It started with Red Dawn and Flamingo Kid. I think Flamingo Kid
was
the first one given the rating, but Red Dawn came up first, I think, for PG-13. Something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah, and I think I was right around 12 when it started, because I remember being very excited.
So because back then they'd put, like, boobs and stuff in the PG-13 movies. They don't really do that anymore.
They put boobs in everything back then. Not anymore.
No.
For those kind of movies, you know?
Yeah.
But it's kind of taboo now.
Yeah, it was awesome when the PG-13 came out, because then I was like, oh, now I get to go to these movies and my parents won't be angry at me, and maybe I'll get to see some boobs. I don't have to struggle so hard.
It was so hard to see a boob back then. Not like that anymore.
No, it's really easy for your people to see boobs.
Kids don't know how good they have it.
No, they don't.
And regarding boobs.
They can see boobs, and they can see boobs doing crazy things.
You see it on network TV sometimes. Maybe not a boob, but you see, like, butts and... Side boob, for sure.
I've seen lots of side boob on television.
You're the worst. Open it up with a sex scene.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was pretty graphic stuff. And there was side
but
boob.
But that was 10:30 p.m. time slot, right?
And they put a warning before there.
They put the warning, TV, M-A-Q-U-R-Z.
Yeah, if you're... If you're a kid not with your parents right now, enjoy.
I know, and I think it's funny that online, you know, it just asks you the question before going on. Are you 18? You have to put in your, you know, your date of birth, as if a kid who's 11 can't.
Anyone who can do math can get on. Yeah, sure. It's not really a good security system at all. No, it doesn't work. Doesn't work at all.
So we've covered Juice.
Juice.
Side boob.
Side boob.
Expendables, Stallone, and why he should be in my movie.
Right, we cover that.
What else did we cover? It's a plethora of subjects.
Work, beginning work.
Right.
Yoga pants.
Yoga pants. tight yoga pants.
Tight yoga pants.
Showing the package.
Hug the package.
Right, which I still am kind of shocked that that's the case.
I'm shocked. Imagine how I feel to find that out, that that's not the norm.
Right, that is not what namaste means.
Namaste doesn't mean show me your balls. I'm shocked to find this out. I have been hoodwinked and tricked for the last time. I am now very angry. Very, very angry.
So, what else is new with the Todd Robert Anderson life? Any new gigs coming up, or just basically auditioning, or what's new?
I'm just auditioning. That's what I'm doing. Yeah.
Any good ones lately? Any good auditions you wanted to talk about?
It's been slow. I went out on an indie movie, like a supporting role in a horror show. It's like a horror. Yeah. I like horror movies.
Okay.
So I was like, cool, yeah, I'll go in on this.
Have you done a horror movie?
Not a feature-length one.
Okay, because I want to see you in one of those.
I have a couple of shorts rolling around right now in festivals. Mm-hmm. In fact, they were both supposed to play in Cincinnati the other night.
Okay, at a festival?
In the same block of shorts.
Okay.
I mean, there's two movies and they both involve zombies.
Nice. Is one of them Dogcatchers? Because I know.
Yeah, one of them's Dogcatchers, and the other one's called Butterfly Dust.
Right,
and,
right. Oh, I didn't know they both had zombies in them.
Yeah, and Butterfly Dust is, is a thriller. You know, it's like not a funny one. So they were supposed to play back to back, but then there was some kind of technical snafu, so Dogcatchers didn't play. I was very upset.
Yeah.
I was like, that would have been so cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're both floating around at different festivals right now.
And I know that Fuzz Track City is playing this weekend, right? On Saturday?
Yes, it is.
It is around here, right?
Like my friend's music school.
And
actually,
for those who haven't seen it, it's on video now?
It is. It's on DVD, and you can download it
iTunes?
From the internet. Yeah, Amazon, iTunes,
Amazon,
all those kind of things.
For those who haven't seen it, I did see it, and it's an awesome movie. You have to see
thanks.
This movie, yes. Todd's the star, and it's a great cast, and it's a really fun story, and just, it's like an old school, it feels like an old school 70s.
Yeah, it is.
How would you even classify it?
I don't know.
It's like a quirky comedy.
Yeah, it's like noirish, and it's a comedy, you know.
I like that. I you can't classify it when you don't. You know, going into it, I didn't know the story, and it just was so surprising.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun and quirky and weird, and I like it a lot. I mean, it's got comedic elements. It's certainly, you know, funny, but it's not like when you say a comedy now, you know, people go expecting
Will
Ferrell type comedy, and that's not. It's subtler than that,
right?
But yeah, I like it. I like the way it turned out.
I do too.
Yeah.
Very much. Yeah. So Fuzz Track City, make sure go see that, people.
Yeah. Or give me money.
Yes, absolutely.
Send me monies.
What's up with, Steve Hicks, right? Is the director?
Yeah.
Is he got anything else? What's his next project? Cause I love the movie. I'd love to see what he does next.
I know he's working on a script, but I don't know what stage he is in. And I know he wants to secure more money before he launches into production again. Because that was like a no-budge movie.
Right.
And, I think the end product is great. And ultimately the experience was great, but it was also very frustrating for him. And he's like, I've done that, and I don't want to go through that again.
Right. I think, sadly, the key is you have to get, like, one, you know, really good name attached that can bring money.
Yeah, yeah, that's
true.
Get a name. Yeah, that's absolutely true. Well, I mean, he did get Dee Wallace.
Right.
She was, like,
she's
biggest
great.
Name in that. Yeah, she's marvelous. Right. She's marvelous. It was amazing that she did it, you know. But she just liked the script and liked the part, you know. Mm-hmm. Because she doesn't usually get to play stuff quite like that.
Right.
Which is how you get people
to
work for
free. A
lot of free.
People want to work.
You get them to be excited about it artistically on some level. Yeah, or you can just pay me.
Well, yeah, guys like us, I mean, I can't speak for both of us, but pretty much can. But yeah, I just want to work on stuff. As long as it's, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if it's junk, I want to get paid, you know?
You find the balance.
Ideally, you would get paid to do something that's also artistically gratifying, you know, which is true about You're the Worst, for sure, for me. But like, that's rare that happens.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I can't wait to see season two.
Me either.
I'm very excited to see where it goes. It's going to get picked up. We know that. Come on.
I have a good feeling.
Yeah, it's looking really good.
I have a good feeling.
FX, I think they're smart people.
They're definitely smart.
Like the Landgraf, I think, is the guy that's like the head guy. He seems like a really smart guy that knows what he's
doing.
Well,
you know, FX is it's a good network.
Yeah.
They do
good shows.
Good shows, for the most part.
They do.
They've a couple misses, but they're hit. They usually hit.
I wonder how is Married doing. I haven't watched it as much, but I've seen a couple. It seemed fun.
Haven't
heard as much buzz, but I know I'm
It didn't get the reception that You're the Worst did, and then its rating sort of declined while You're the Worst went up.
Right. I really like Nat Faxon a lot. He's also
he's
everybody. A Massachusetts boy, by the way, I think.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah. He's great. Really nice guy. Yeah. I like everybody in that show. There's you know, I don't who knows what clicks with people and what doesn't. I don't know. I don't know. I just show up and say words in front of a camera. All that other stuff is for other people to figure out.
Exactly.
I'm a dumb actor.
The lighting and adding the twinkle in your eye and post and all
that. Yeah, all that crap. That's figure it out. Yeah, correct my colors.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing it. I showed up and said lines.
Yeah.
What else do you want from
drinking
me?
Drinking that trash juice?
Was drinking
that
trash juice?
Trash juice?
Yeah. Yeah. So funny. That, like,
did you have fun doing that episode? That looked like so much fun.
Oh, yeah. It was great. It was one of those things. And, you know, we shot that.
We're talking about You're the Worst, by the way.
Yeah. We shot that whole fight scene over two nights.
Oh,
and
wow.
We were fighting, like, on concrete and, like, landing on our knees. And, you know, it was like I was covered. My legs were covered in bruises and cuts and stuff. And it was one of those things where it was so much fun to do that you don't realize how – and I'm like 10 years the senior of all the people in that cast.
And maybe this is why you're hurting all over.
I think maybe I'm still hurting from that like several months ago now. Yeah, probably. That was probably it. I'm like going to get addicted to Vicodin like Chevy Chase on Saturday Night Live because of all the pratfalls I've been doing. It's a hard life, man. It's super hard.
Pain is temporary. Film is forever. Although we shoot on digital now, but
yeah, I mean, there is permanent pains. But yeah, I see. I mean, I see your point.
Yeah,
I see. Your
I just
point.
Like that quote. Anytime I can throw that quote out, it makes me happy.
Yeah, I like the quote. Sometimes you eat the bear. Sometimes the bear eats you. Yeah. I like that quote.
Yeah.
I try to work that. But then a lot of times I'm around kids and people frown on like the second part of
getting
that.
Getting
eaten
by bears.
They don't want the kids to know that, you know, that bears will eat them. But it seems like that's a good lesson for a kid to learn. Because if a kid doesn't know that and there's a bear, the kid might be like, oh, cool, a bear. I'm going to go check it out. And then the bear eats the kid. And it's because you didn't want to scare him. Maybe he should be scared.
Yeah.
You should be scared of bears. That's my point.
Absolutely.
Bears are terrifying. And they'll eat you. You ever seen a bear in the wild?
I never have, thankfully.
You've seen them at the zoo and stuff?
I think so.
Do you like going to zoos?
I actually do. I haven't been to that many. I've been to a few. I think the last one I went to was San Diego.
Oh yeah, San Diego.
It's bittersweet because it's really cool to see them, but yet they're trapped there. You know?
We went to the.
But San Diego is pretty cool.
Yeah, I've been to San Diego Zoo. It is a cool zoo. But it is like, but they have like really big enclosures at that zoo. So it's not like just lions lying around in their shit on a pile of concrete, which like that's pretty much what the LA Zoo looks like.
LA Zoo is very sad. I went once a long time ago and I remember thinking, wow.
I don't like zoos personally because they just seem somewhat immoral. And I know the argument's always, well, you know, it's educational, and this way people are read a fucking book. There's like so many shows on TV. Like, we'll watch the Discovery Channel.
Yeah, yeah.
There's like lions on there. You don't need to, and then they're out in the wild, and you see how they really learn from that. You don't need to go stare at them.
But it's cool seeing them in person. but yet
it yes, is. It does. And I felt better about going to the Wild Animal Safari Park, which is also a San Diego Zoo thing, I guess. Now. Okay, but they like they're all almost all the animals there are endangered, and they're breeding them and trying to save the species, and they also live. Like in huge expanses of land, like all these different animals that would coexist are hanging out. They don't put the cats and shit that will kill the.
So how do you see them though? How do you get to see them?
Well, there's different tiers. It's expensive.
Okay.
You know, and you can just pay to walk around the park and you'll see some stuff. And there are some, you know, like exhibits, like there's a gorilla exhibit because they can't have the gorillas running around with the other animals.
They'll just like be the Mac Daddy pimp. They'll take care of
it. Yeah, they'll just mess it up. Yeah. Yeah. So that was the one thing there that made me a little sad because they didn't seem happy at all.
I don't remember seeing the gorillas happy either. I think they always seem sad to me.
No, and they don't like being looked at. Right, I mean, it's like they're so close to us.
Right.
And it's that, you know, unless you got an actor gorilla, they're not into people just staring at them and oohing and aahing. There was, though, I mean, it did kind of blow me away, though. There was one gorilla, it was a silverback gorilla. I mean, this thing is like 9 feet tall, 10 feet tall. There was like a cave, you know, in the enclosure. And I was looking at this, like, cave. I was like, is that a cave? What is that? What is that thing in the way of the cave? And as I'm looking, I'm like, holy crap, that's a gorilla. I mean, the thing was huge.
Wow.
And he just stands there. That's what one of the parks says. She's like, he doesn't like it. He doesn't like it.
They even got him in there being that big.
Look, I don't know how he's huge. I mean, he would just tear you apart.
I smell a sci-fi movie.
yeah, exactly. Sci-fi channel. But they always have to, because sci-fi channel always combines animals now. It can't just be a simple story about a gorilla gone amok. It's got to be
snake gorilla,
shark gorilla, some goddamn thing, or a shark gorilla in something like a hurricane. That's blowing around.
Snark gorilla cane.
Snark gorilla cane.
It's a snake shark gorilla.
In a hurricane.
In a hurricane.
I'm down. I'm greenlighting this
Write
picture.
That down. Copyright it.
You should write yourself the star and Stallone as your dad.
Yes.
There's your
I
movie.
Wonder if he would do it. I'm guessing yes.
I don't think he would do a sci-fi channel movie. He's too rich and his movies still make enough
If you let him direct
overseas.
It.
Yeah, if you let him direct Maybe. It, man. But I don't know how much he wants to direct it because he directed.
Did he not direct the last Expendables? He didn't.
He didn't. No? He only directed the first one.
Ah.
I don't know how much he wants to direct. He directed Rambo, I think, the last Rambo movie. But I don't know how much I think he just wants to be the guy in the movie because he hasn't directed anything since Expendables.
So he covered cranberry apple juice,
side boob,
snake gorillas,
snakes, acting business,
yoga balls pants. It's so many things. What are we forgetting?
We talked about what
zoos,
forceps babies, giant gorillas.
Yes.
God, that gorilla was amazing.
Even some acting news we talked about.
Too. We talked about acting news
shows.
Yeah, we talked about Fuzz Track City
and
we gave some insider information about You're the Worst.
So basically everything that we talked about, if you're trying to get from the west side into the valley, you still have plenty of time left to listen to the rest of the podcast.
Yeah, you have plenty of time. Plenty of time, yeah. That's
Today absolutely. Wasn't bad, actually, coming up this way for me. I actually did come from the west side up into the valley.
Oh, really? At this hour? It wasn't bad?
It was not that bad.
You know, that 405 hasn't been... I love that we're talking about traffic. 405 hasn't been that bad since they added that carpool lane that goes over the hill. It's gotten a little bit better.
A little better.
Yeah, yeah. It's not as congested. So, great news there.
Yes.
Great news there. Yes. People love hearing people from LA talk about freeways and traffic.
Yeah, they think we're so kooky.
Yeah, it's so neat. Yeah, and then there's the 101's not so hot though.
It's been the West 101's been not doing too well lately. I've noticed.
Yeah,
it's just getting worse and worse.
It gets gummed up. There's a lot of people, in LA, and they all have cars.
Yeah.
And they go on the freeways.
And there are too many Priuses now, I think, and that's slowing things up a little bit.
Yeah, Priuses.
Maybe that's just me.
Yeah, Priuses are ruining things.
I feel like I'm always stuck behind a Prius going a little too slow.
Right. Or like a Tesla.
Yeah.
Tesla.
They have the hybrids now, right? Tesla hybrids. Don't they have those coming out now?
I don't know.
Is that Elon Musk's company?
My friend.
Does he own Tesla? He owns everything now.
Yeah, I think so. My friend Skelton said the Tesla is a great way to show that you're environmentally conscious and a douchebag.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
It is.
Because you got to be rich to buy a Tesla.
You used to have to have a Porsche. Now you can go that way.
Yeah, well, now, yeah. You're like a rich hipster environmentalist person if you get a Tesla. But you're still rich. You got to be rich to get a Tesla. Those aren't cheap cars.
No.
They're not making that affordable. What's affordable is like those little smart cars.
Yes, those little like I always think of the little car in like Monopoly when I see them.
Like they do look like that.
Move it.
They do look like that.
Yeah.
They look like death traps to me.
They do, but you're always stuck in traffic so much. It doesn't really matter. How do you even? You can't even have impact anymore.
I guess you're right.
So side boob.
traffic, juice,
snake gorillas,
Stallone.
Zoos.
Did you see that Blackfish documentary? Speaking of
no,
zoos,
I have not
about
seen
SeaWorld.
No.
Oh god damn!
Really?
Park again? Yeah, it's horrible.
Is it all about SeaWorld basically?
It's about SeaWorld and a particular whale at SeaWorld.
And did it kill a couple of people?
It killed a bunch of people.
Oh my god!
And they kept just sort of covering it up.
Wow.
So, because the whales are expensive.
Yeah.
It's some dark shit.
They just all of a sudden snap on their trainer and eat them or something? It didn't eat a regular trainer, right?
Trainers. It killed a few trainers.
Wow.
And they bought it from a park where it killed somebody.
Oh, wow.
And then that park that wasn't SeaWorld, was getting rid of him. And then SeaWorld swooped in and bought him. And then he kept killing people.
It sounds like, you know, kind of like a bad joke about the Catholic Church, but I won't.
Yeah. He not only was the whale killing trainers, he was also molesting children.
Yes.
He's a really bad, bad orca whale. Yeah.
Funny. Same black and white, you know, similar colors.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just like a priest.
Yeah, there's a stand-up bit in there somewhere. I'm sure it's currently being done at various open mics.
I'm sure lots of people are doing it. After they do their traffic jokes.
Right.
And talk about airplanes. Do you do stand-up?
You know, I haven't done it. I will occasionally dabble and do an open mic just for fun.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I started in stand-up in Boston. My whole journey as a performer started as a stand-up in Boston.
Oh, right. How old were you when you started that?
I was 21. No, wait, 19?
19.
Yeah, 90. Yeah, no, 21. 21.
Oh, okay.
It was 93.
What were your bits like?
My bits were very cute and funny and clever.
Uh-huh.
I tried to stay clean.
Oh, you were working clean.
I tried, yeah. But I remember, my very first bit I ever did at an open mic in Boston downtown at Nick's Comedy Stop.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very first joke ever was a bit about jumping into the water in the ocean and then having your everything shrink and then people laughing. It was very silly, you go in like Long John Silver and then you come out like Pee Wee Herman and I did voices and it got a really big laugh because there were about 60 people in the audience and like 45 were my friends.
Oh yeah.
So everybody laughed.
Right.
And thankfully, and now I'm still in the business because of that.
Did you go do the same joke somewhere else and it didn't land?
I don't think that bit lasted very long, mm-hmm. but I was working on certain bits and I kept refining them over time. And I eventually got to a point where I had a really good 15 minutes and started doing really well with that. You know, and you keep tweaking and then trying new bits. I would have like four or five solid bits that I knew would always get a laugh.
And then
I would always throw those in with the new ones to try to work in the new ones, you know, but having the good old reliables.
The reliables.
So that I never really bombed.
Right.
I never crushed, per se,
but
I was always good enough that I was a good opener. back right. then, it was like the opener, the middle, and the closer.
Right.
And that was a really good opener.
That's still a thing, isn't it?
I think so, but I don't know if it's exactly... L.A. is more, you have a big show with like a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know,
no, that's
sets.
More like a road comic thing right now. Yeah. I think they still... On the road, they have...
Yeah, the roads, they have the three guys.
In the middle, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, that was a great time. I loved doing that back in the day.
Yeah, I did it a little bit when I was in high school and college. But I didn't like doing it in New York. I liked doing it in Boston, but...
Boston was so great back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I got to L.A., you know, I went to the Comedy Store to see their open mic and was just so... It was so sad to me. To see, you know, people waiting 3, 4 hours, 5 hours to get up, and then by the end you have just, you know, 4 or 5 comics left, and you have the last few guys doing
right.
3 minutes for these, you know, 3 or 4 comics that don't want to laugh because they've been waiting 5 hours to get up to do their 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And I went from coming from Boston where I was doing packed shows with crowds that were just lovely. You know?
Yeah, and so there I was got, and got, in Boston you didn't have to be a bringer or anything.
No, like, they never had bringers.
Because like people just went out to comedy clubs. It was like a comedy town. Whereas in New York, it's like all the open mics were bringers.
Like
it was a pain.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'd hate it because I was in school, so I'd bring like a buttload of people from NYU.
Yeah.
And then they'd hold me till the end, so the audience wouldn't leave.
Right.
And I felt bad, you know? I'm like, and they're sitting through some pretty bad shit, man.
Right.
I mean, some of it was good, and some of the people were good, but some of it's really bad.
Yeah.
And they're holding me, you know, and I wasn't, like, any great shakes, but I was, like, at least somewhat funny.
Right.
I mean, I had times where I bombed, but it was usually in front of, like, an audience of, like, 4 aggressive assholes from New Jersey. But if...
New Jersey!
Yeah, if the crowd was good, then... Although there was this one guy who, a couple of my friends started coming to the open mics that I was doing to see this guy. I can't remember
because
his name.
Because he was good or bad? Because he was good? Because
they couldn't tell. They couldn't tell.
He was either awful or a genius?
He was, yeah, they were like, either he's the worst comic ever, or this is the most genius, Kaufman-esque parody of stand-up. Ever.
I felt that way about Zach Galifianakis when I first moved to L.A.
Uh-huh.
And I saw him.
When
I remember
didn't he do, like, piano shit? Doesn't he, like, work with a piano?
The night I saw him first, I don't think he had a piano. But I saw him at, like, it was when I first moved to L.A. in 97. I went to this little coffee shop down the street on Venice Boulevard near, like Palms, that area.
Uh-huh.
And I remember seeing this guy, but he stood in my mind. He made an impression. But I remember thinking, I don't know if he was awful or genius. I remember thinking that.
Yeah, that's so funny.
And then I saw him on a couple little, like, TV shows, like guest star, a couple, like, Boston Common, and I'm like, oh, I think that's that guy. I saw
yeah.
The and then he blew up, and I was like, oh, my God, that's the guy from the coffee shop, you know?
So he did know what he was doing.
Yeah, he did.
This guy never blew up, so I'm thinking he didn't know what he was doing. I think he was touched. I do. I think
touched meaning what?
You know, touched.
Literally touched.
Yeah, there was something was off about the guy.
Okay. What kind of stuff did he do?
It was all like self-deprecating humor. There was like one joke about. What was it? It was, I went to karate class and nobody beat me up until after class was over.
That's funny.
It was.
That's really funny.
That was one of his jokes that actually landed, but most of his jokes weren't as well constructed as that, but it didn't matter because what was funny about watching him is he would tell one of these clunkers, you know, these dumb, it was like, Henny Youngman-esque in that. It's just like, here's the setup, here's the punchline, that's it.
Yeah.
There was no, it was not like modern, rambly, I'm telling you the honest-to-God Mark Maroney truth about myself as my comedy. It was just jokes.
Right.
But they were all self-deprecating. They were all about what a loser he was. And then after every joke, regardless of whether or not it landed, and most of them didn't, like nobody would react. And every time it would go, thank you. I love this. I love this. Thank you. And my friends thought it was fucking awesome. But yeah, they were like, is he doing this on purpose? Because they'd be like this table in the back just dying laughing while the rest of the audience is staring at this guy like, what the fuck? Is this for real? It was really funny. But then, you know who kind of does that is that, what's his name? Neil Hamburger.
I
you know that
him.
Guy?
No.
he's a stand-up comic, and he sort of, like, that's what he does. He, like, is, like, playing, like, the guy who does him is playing, like, this drunk, unfunny guy, and that's the whole bit. He's funny. You should follow him on Twitter. He's kind of funny on Twitter.
Neil Hamburger?
Yeah, because on Twitter, the only time he tweets is when he's retweeting people saying they got diarrhea from Taco Bell. And then the other thing he does is he'll answer, because, you know, they're like, are you on Twitter?
I am on Twitter now.
You know, they have those, like, there'll be like a corporate-sponsored, like, thing forced into your feed, and it'll ask you some question,
which is
you
annoying,
know. Like, what's your favorite thing to do with a Dorito or whatever? And he always, like, retweets it and then answers something, you know, about, like, how this is poison and all that stuff. He's really funny. But that's his bit, is being a bad comic on the stage. Although it's probably morphed since when he started. He probably isn't doing quite the same thing. But like, this guy was seriously meta. This guy that I'm talking about was seriously meta, if that's the case. Yeah, meta before its time.
But I do miss stand-up. I think it's the kind of thing I'll always, at some point, go back to. You know, I can't imagine it never being part of my...
I'm going
to
wait till I'm, like, 75, and then I'll do stand-up again.
It'll be like your version of The Expendables. Like, you get a bunch of stuff, start doing it again.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The senior circuit.
I think about it. I mean, I did find it absolutely terrifying. And so much of it, for me, was, like, facing my fear, you know? And it made me so nervous to the waiting, on stage, the waiting, and especially when they held me, and then I'd be really nervous, and sometimes, and like, you can use the nerves for, like, the performance, you can put it into the performance, but when they hold you for a while, you go through these, like, you crash out from the nerves, and then it's just like you start to feel fucking sick, and then you get nervous again, and then so, like,
I almost feel like that sometimes at auditions, when I'm like, oh, they're keeping me waiting so long, that you almost get to a point where you're like, well, now I don't even want to go in there.
I know.
When I wait too long and I feel good about it, I almost get to it. It's like a wave of no.
Yeah, you know? I've gotten better at that. There was, like, when I started, you know, I'm really mellow about, like, the wait. Like, I go to every audition especially commercials. I bring a book. I'm like, however long it takes.
Right.
However long it takes. Because I used to get mad. I used to get mad if I was waiting for an hour and a half, you know, at a callback or whatever. And then my audition would be bad because I'd walk in, and I did get to a point where I was like, okay, I have this policy. I'll give you an hour. If I'm not in after an hour, I'll bail. But now I'm like pretty good about waiting. But I mean, I will, if I like start, you know, if I have another appointment to get to,
right.
You know, then I will give you the allotted time and then go. And then I will leave. Cause then I'm like worried about getting there and then, blah, 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 and then I can't focus. You know?
But getting back quickly to stand up, if you want to ever go and do an open mic, I have a friend that does a really good open mic, not too far away in the Valley.
Oh, really?
I think it's actually North Hollywood. It's called, Mouthy Pants.
Mouthy Pants? Is it over in like the
it's at a bar.
NoHo Art?
Yeah, kind of, sort of. It's I don't know exactly the address. I haven't been in a long time, but it's a really nice, good environment, good, you know, good support. It's not, you know, with the comics. If you ever want that info, I'll send it to you. Maybe we can even go together.
Yeah, yeah.
And go and do that.
I might want to like go and like look first.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll let you know.
To see. Yeah, yeah. If you go, I'll go look. Yeah.
They do have a system where you put your name in and then they pick the first 20 to actually have spots. It's just a random drawing.
Oh,
and then after that, then you have to wait. And then it's like, you know, you go up after, you know, the first 20 have spots.
Uh-huh.
And then whoever else is there.
20?
Yeah.
Fucking comics?
Yeah, it's like, you know, five minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the rest, you have to basically write in and get a number. And then you have an order.
That's insane.
Something like that. But it's a nice room, though, if you want to go do it.
Yeah, I'll go look at it.
You can find out if you have the first 20.
I mean, one of the reasons that I never go to stand-up clubs anymore is my wife can't stand it.
Right.
She just can't stand it.
We normally can't either. Yeah, it's tough to take when they're bad. When they're good, it's okay. But
I mean, she's like, if it's like a special with a comic that she likes, like Louis C.K. or whatever, she'll watch the TV thing. But she, like, going to clubs, like, she gets flop sweat. like sympathy flop sweat.
Empathetic too.
Yeah, empathetic flop sweat. So yeah, it's like we never go. It's too stressful. It's not a fun night for her.
Right.
It's too stressful. Yeah. So what have we?
So flop sweats during stand up sets.
Uh-huh.
Side boob
juice.
Snake grillas.
Cran
apple.
Zoos.
TV shows.
Traffic. Yeah.
Forceps.
Stallone. Forceps, babies.
Lots of stuff. Lots of great stuff.
Yeah, I don't know.
The silverback gorilla story.
Yeah.
I want to see this gorilla, by the way.
Well,
have to make a trip, San Diego.
Yeah, you got to go to see the thing.
Yeah.
But you got to time it so when they feed him the bamboo or whatever it is they eat, you got to, because you won't see him. Like, you might see his back like I did.
Right.
But we timed it right because the lady, like, started dropping their food.
Right.
So he had to come out and grab it.
Cool.
And you could tell he was looking at me like, you're an asshole.
Maybe I can see a stream of his stuff on, like, YouTube or something.
I'll bet you could.
Yeah, I bet you could.
I bet you could if you put, like...
What's his name? Like, Stanley or something?
I don't know. I don't know. But he's at the Wild Animal Safari Park. And, yeah. That's all. Silverback Gorilla Safari Park.
You can find anything which is 3 or 4 keywords nowadays.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah. Don't, like, put that in, like, on a porn search engine, though, because...
it's a different kind of thing.
It's a different...
Yeah, we don't need to...
You don't want to... Yeah, you don't want to see that. Yeah. There's things you can't unsee.
Right.
And that's one of them. That's one of them. Well, I've had a good time.
Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, my pleasure.
For being my guest. You were the best guest I've ever had.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
Wonderful guest, yeah.
Yeah, thanks.
Sorry to all my other guests that I've had, but they just can't compare.
Yeah. You're not just saying that?
A little bit.
It's a little
But no, vulnerable. but seriously, no, I'm not just saying
you're not.
I mean, I did just say it. But
just now.
Just saying it.
I didn't mean that like
right,
that.
Right.
I didn't mean like you just said it because I heard it. I mean, I knew that.
Yeah.
I was more asking if you were just saying it to be polite.
Right. A little bit of both.
Huh.
It's, you know. But I meant it.
Okay.
Yeah, I did mean it.
All right. You're really hard to read on this thing.
Yeah, I'm just trying to be funny and just not working out. Which is kind of like how my career goes. But I also do drama.
Oh, yeah, good.
But no, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure for me,
Thanks
too.
Thanks for coming. And I'll see you soon.
All right.
All right.